You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Lures.
Why is liquid cold?
Lures.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
This morning we're going to be speaking with Rachel Ashby. She is an Elim School of Fine Arts graduate, and for her honours project she created a work called Manifesto for the Fractured Now. What up?
Hey, well, I'm not actually graduated yet. I'm still going.
Oh, excuse me.
It's the honours project that I'm working on at the moment, but yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming on this morning. And I kind of just wanted to start things off by asking you if you can tell us a little bit about your project and kind of what it means.
Yeah, well, I started to get really interested in how young people, by young people I mean sort of like that weird term millennials, of like people who kind of are under 30-ish still, sort of above 16, yeah. 17-ish, and how like basically young people are engaging with sort of global politics at the moment, because it's a really turbulent time. And I was really interested because a lot of the stuff that you hear is about millennials, but not talking to millennials. So
right.
You get a lot of people talking about, oh, this is what's happening for these, like, this generation, and this is what they're going to inherit. And, you know, no one's really talking to us and saying, well, what do you guys think about that?
So there's that? A lot of opinion pieces out there.
There's a lot of opinion pieces out there. There's a lot of, like, you know, articles written about us, but I was quite interested in what we had to say, and I like sound as an art medium, sound and music, because I think it's quite a democratic medium, because everybody likes music, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no one who doesn't like music, and you can have like a really emotive, really visceral reaction to sound and music without actually having to, you know, like understand what it's about.
And do you feel like with kind of like the visual aspect of art, there is some kind of preconception that you do have to have that understanding?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time with like conceptual art and with sort of contemporary conceptual art, there's like this feeling that you have to understand, or you have to be in this like cool club to know, you know. And I don't really like that, and I don't think that's obviously true for all visual mediums and like all conceptual art, but I do think that there is a real stigma there. And I think that with sound, you get this kind of sound is like, well, you know, it's streamed directly into people's cars, bedrooms, you know,
it's
people
everywhere.
Listen to their iPods, it's everywhere, it's literally everywhere. And so it's quite a, you know, a democratic medium. So I was quite interested in like exploring through sound what it sounds like, I guess, to be a young person right now experiencing this kind of big political moment, I guess.
So yeah. What does your project consist of? Where did you begin, and kind of where did it go?
Well, I started having conversations and recording these conversations with like friends of mine and people who I knew were interested in like politics that was happening overseas and in New Zealand. And then I'd ask them to record a sound response, like an improvised sound response. And that could be like a proper musical response. So I had people who would play like really beautiful sort of like arpeggios and stuff on their, you know, mm-hmm. violins and things, and really classically trained musicians like that. Then I also had people who were just like I had someone who played a broken ukulele, and they also told me they didn't actually know how to play the ukulele anyway.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's awesome. Like, it's just making noises, I guess. And hopefully, what I was hoping for was that the conversation that we'd have would then kind of inform the way that they were making those sounds. So we'd go straight from talking into recording music. And yeah, that was kind of the aim.
Did you record what they were saying as well?
Yes, I kind of recorded the conversation itself, and then some of that text I've been sort of recycling, cutting and pasting and making kind of poetry out of it. Mm-hmm. So hoping to sort of get from all of these sound samples and all of these conversations, hoping to kind of make kind of sound poetry, I guess, that sort of expresses like the mood, like the what it feels like, I guess, to be a young person right now, so that you'd hopefully listen to it and feel, I don't know, frustration or urgency or something like that. You don't have to necessarily know straight away what it's about, but you'd hopefully feel those feelings listening to it.
And was there a common message among the people who partook in your project? Did you realize that they all kind of had the same meaning behind their voice or...
Yeah, well, that was the most interesting thing was obviously the people I was talking to were primarily people that I knew, so that kind of like gives you a wee bit of like a limited field in some ways. But I did try to go and like reach out to sort of quite a diverse group of people. And yeah, there was some really interesting unifying threads between what people were saying, because the conversations we had were about really varied things, but there were lots of people coming back to feeling like either their voices weren't being listened to or they just felt slightly powerless in some situations. And there was this real sense of frustration at the way that things in the world were happening, and just a lack of feeling like you could do anything about it. But then I think the thing that I found the most like heartening out of all of that is that it sounds like it could be quite depressing, like conversations to have with people. But the thing that I was like struck by was that there was still this real sense of hope, and most of the people that I talked to had this real sense of hope that like it's not always going to be like this, and there will be some way that you can affect some sort of change, even if it's in your own small communities or on a like a bigger scale. So that was something that I found really quite amazing, talking to all these people. Yeah.
And how did you put together all these different kind of sound clips and everything? How did you present your actual piece?
Yeah, well, the stuff that I'm working on at the moment is mostly video and these sort of soundscapes. So I kind of like take the raw soundscapes that raw sound recordings, and then I pull out sections that are interesting using just like pretty basic computer program. It's like, if anyone knows anything about mixing, it sounds real basic, but I just use like one of the Adobe Suite things for that. And then I build them up to make one sort of soundscape using these like little clips from all these different recordings that we've made. And then I do the same thing with the poetry. I cut and paste bits of text from the conversations that I thought were interesting or that I think kind of relate to things that other people had said, and then sort of use that to make a poem or like a text that kind of rolls underneath the sound like a subtitling, I guess. Yeah.
In your write-up, you kind of said something, a soundscape that aims to capture the millennial zeitgeist. Can you tell us a little bit about what the millennial zeitgeist actually means?
I don't really know.
Oh my God, beautiful.
No, I think like, I don't know. I think it's kind of, the one thing I'm a wee bit worried about is I don't want it to become like this project about like a generational war, because I think that's not, it's not what it's about, and it's also not interesting really, because I think, you know, if we actually want to affect any change with these big political issues and even small ones as well, you can't just work with your little tiny generational group. You have to actually be intergenerational.
Reach out.
And like, but I think, I do think that it did start with this idea that this kind of, I guess, millennial age group is in a period of time where like things that were sort of problems for our parents' generation, like climate change and, you know, financial crisis and political turmoil and stuff, like it was a thing, but we have like the really pressing, like in our lifetimes we're gonna really have to deal with that in a very like hands-on kind of way, you know, like we have to actually deal with the kind of like
The shit.
Yeah, we have to deal with the shit. But yeah, I think it's not necessarily just millennials. I think it's more that I wanted to see what we felt like, and then hopefully that would open up a conversation. Yeah.
And what meaning and experience did you take from the project?
Yeah, well, I was like I was just saying, I think I was just really surprised and heartened by this kind of like through line of hope that just sort of was in there, despite all the kind of frustrations and like the overwhelmingness of the whole kind of context that it exists within. I think that just idea of hope and that sort of like, yeah, well, there's something we can do, you know, there's got to be something we can do. I think that was something that really has stuck with me. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Rachel Ashby, for coming in this morning, and good luck with all your future studies and projects and whatever you decide to do. So,
Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
No worries.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.